Thank you for coming, Princess. I appreciate it.
He took her hand and held it to his cheek, which was wet with tears, and then kissed it. Kimberly broke down and, weeping, leaned over and kissed her father's cheek. I love you, Dad.
I love you too.
But when that was said, there didn't seem to be anything else to say. There'd been a moment of closeness, but with nothing to build on, it faded almost as soon as it had appeared. They remained holding hands in silence until his consciousness receded. It had been a deathbed moment, and in a few moments, the beeping of the heart monitor ceased. Kimberly was calm when she rang for the nurse and SMS'd Rachel with the news. She was calm as she consulted with the hospital counseling staff about making arrangements for the disposal of the body and agreed with their suggestion that it can be cremated before it was sent back to South Africa. She was calm when she dealt with the media, who had descended almost immediately, rather like the vultures at the cheetah kill, she couldn't help thinking. How, she wondered, had they got the news so quickly? She was in control, as she prided herself on being. But when she was alone in her hotel room, at last, she began to sob. Not so much because her father had died. That would make little difference in her life. But for all the lost opportunities for relationship, for love, for mutual support, for so much that she now saw was important in her life. She was horrified that she had so little grief for her father and envied Daniel more than she could imagine envying anybody. He was rich, and she was destitute. Those few moments when she and her father had connected had been precious, but totally inadequate for a lifetime. There was nothing she could do about that. It was in the past. But what she could do was to build for the future. Build relationships where she could. With that resolve, she finally slept. When she got back to Joburg, she discovered that the kidnapper, dying from TB, had confessed and was under guard at the hospital. She tried to make herself go see him. It seemed appropriate to her new lifetime resolutions, but she literally trembled at the thought of being in the same room with him. Everybody thought it would be a terrible thing to do, and with relief, she took their advice but compromised by writing him a note thanking him for confessing and for releasing her and forgiving him for the kidnapping. She wasn't absolutely sure she was telling the truth, but if she was lying, it was out of consideration, not selfishness. It seemed that her past, with all its traumas and mistakes, could be put behind her. But then she thought of Daniel and realized that there was still unfinished business to deal with, if she possibly could.